70 years, 70 stories. Beyond the Blitz with BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.
My name is Harold Nash. I was a navigator in the Second World War. In the crew, there was a pilot, of course. He was a captain. The second pilot was the bomb aimer. Then there was a wireless operator, and he had a loop aerial. Then the engineer, and then the mid-upper gunner, and the rear gunner. And please, no one listening should think that I was a hero. I was a coward. I trembled the whole of the time we're up there, separated from my real self, frozen with fear, functioning like a robot at times, and surrounded by inky blackness, not being able to see anything. Then perhaps 50, 60 miles away, you could see the fires lighting up the whole of the sky in the distance. You didn't need navigational aid. You could see it. And as we got over it, I mean, they were like diamonds dancing on a black velvet background. That image remains fixed in my mind. It remains fixed in my mind because now, as an old man, I know what I did. I didn't know then. I mean, those flashing diamonds were women and children. And I know thousands died in minutes in the fires, the firestorm. All I thought was, drop the bombs, let's get out of here, let's get home. That was it. Had we been able to see what we were doing? The German chaps as well, I refuse to call them Nazis. If you call them Nazis, ordinary chaps, like our fighting men, had we been forced to see that, reducing children to powder in seconds, we couldn't have continued. Even the executioner has a heart. The key moment in my life was we were shot down. It was September the 27th, 9:20 p.m. I just looked at my watch. We'd just attacked Hanover. We'd left the town by 10 minutes, and the plane was wobbling from side to side. I was off the intercom, busy. I didn't pay much attention because the pilot, Harry, often did that when the fighter's about. Behind us was a Focke Wulf 190. What they didn't know, what they couldn't see, was a Junkers 88 was coming through his own flak and he was coming up on our blind side. But suddenly there was a terrific rattle, and in a moment we were burning. Not heavy flames, but I heard Harry say, prepared to abandon, and then it was cut off. The intercom was destroyed by the fire. I remember sitting on the floor. We couldn't open the trap door to begin with. It just wouldn't open. Fortunately for us, we weren't going down in a steep dive, but slowly. And I remember sitting on the floor thinking, that's it, I'm going to die. And a peace I've never known before stole over me, you know. I've never felt that before, this inner peace. And suddenly the door opened. I remember the face of my pilot. We had an agreement, he and I, that in the events of an emergency, I would take his parachute. Our parachutes were stowed at the side of the aircraft. His face was as calm, he nodded. That man knew he was going to die because he couldn't bail out because the mid-upper gunner's parachute was torn to shreds. There was blood in his hair. The man next to me was dying. The utter calm. I helped the wounded man out and I followed in a third. I must have been going head over heels because the fire of the aircraft appeared only to disappear at regular intervals. And like a very good little boy, I counted to 10 and then pulled the ripcord. And suddenly it opened with such a shock it mushroomed into shape and my left flying boot flew off and I trembled. I knew, unless something dreadful happened to me on the ground, I was going to live. And living, all the fear came back. Tremendous emotion.